If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
So, some serious business. You know, we hear all these horrible stories of the shootings on the expressways, on the roads, people in their cars. That seems to be the new thing that's going on right now. So I'm looking at, you know, through Facebook this morning. One of our producers here at WGN, Brian Altheimer, is one of the producers on Ro Khan Show in the afternoon. And this is what he wrote. He posted this, 17 hours ago. So I guess this would be Friday night. It said, this happened last night. Early this morning, I got off work from the bar. In addition to working here at WGN, he's also a security man at a Chicago nightclub. And I should just mention, Brian is like a building when you see him. He's got to be like 6'4", 6'5", very fit, very, you know, he's gigantic. You know, like in a very muscular sort of way. He's a mountain of a man, let's say. He is a Marine. He was a security guy at a bar in Chicago. Just so, you know, physically you get an idea of Brian. Says, I was driving home from the bar, southbound on Lakeshore Drive, as I normally do. As I got to Jackson, I noticed a tan SUV driving pretty close behind me. But I paid no mind because it was daylight out. As I got close to Roosevelt, the SUV pulled up beside me, and the guy, and he writes in here, in parentheses, black male dreads, looked at me and pointed a gun at me. He says, luckily, I broke quickly. I made a right onto Roosevelt and called the police. I don't even know if they caught the guys. I was asked by my friend Greg, why do I need a tactical vest? He posted a picture of a, you know, bulletproof vest on his Facebook page. And he said, why do I need a tactical vest? He says, because I honestly don't feel safe in my own city. He said, I'm a big guy, but these dudes out there have some other agenda. I've never been in a gang or anything. I try to live my life drama-free. With these recent rash of shootings on the Chicago highways, he says, I think these dudes are doing it randomly for, quote, sick fun, end quote. So until the Chicago police figures out how to stop the madness, I will wear my vest while driving because I don't feel safe, Rahm Emanuel, he writes. And he says to please share this. And, It's terrifying. We've talked about this last week. We've talked about this before. And I'm just going to pose this question. We tried to get a hold of Brian. We weren't able to make the connection. I'm guessing he probably worked at the club last night and it's probably asleep right now. But I want to pose this question to you. What is it the Chicago Police Department needs to figure out what to do to stop this madness? If you're driving along and somebody, you're not doing anything, somebody randomly pulls up next to you and points a gun at you, what's the Chicago Police Department going to do? What does a person do? Do we have to all wear bulletproof vests when we get in our cars to go someplace? I put the same question to you that I put out last week. What really, realistically, can we do about this? More police on the streets? More laws? More? I honestly throw my hands up. I do not know what the answer is to this. But when somebody is simply driving in their car, they stop at a stoplight and you kind of, you know, casually look over the way we all do, and you see somebody pointing a gun at you, what do you do? And what you know, in Brian's statement here, what till the Chicago Police Department figures this out, and Rahm Emanuel, what are they supposed to do? What really should they be doing that they're not doing? 312-981-7200, talking about the random shootings again in Chicago. I just want to spend a little time with you on the phones on this to talk about these random shootings. A case that happened to one of our producers here at WGN. And really, my question is, what can we do about this? People being shot in their cars. We're going to take some calls on this. We'll start off with you, Bill. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hello, Dean. Bill Bridgeford. I'm sorry, Bill. I'm 71 years old. I'm from the inner city, but I moved out to the suburbs. I know it sounds drastic. You got to send in the National Guard, go to high crime areas, and go house to house. I know it sounds racist, but the police have a code of silence, I guess. So do the poor people in those neighborhoods. Not because of protecting each other, but protecting himself. Because if they find out somebody said something, you know, how do you? You had 20 shootings yesterday, one death, and I think we're up to 1,000 shootings already this year, or 1,200.
So you really think the answer is violating everybody else's
rights? Yes, I do.
Really?
I mean, how else? What, you know, a police can
What's going to happen? What's going to happen when we send the national? Okay. Hello, National Guard. What do they do? They search somebody's house, like the Gestapo, house to house. Really?
Yeah, but how do you solve it then?
I don't know how to solve the problem, but I know I don't want to live in Nazi Germany either.
No, I understand that, but how do you stop the violence? Nobody has an answer. Nobody. Farrakhan was here, and he was going to settle it. What was he here, a week, 2 weeks? I mean, if he can't solve it, and God bless the priest over there, he's trying his darndest. But well, there's a code of silence over there because of fear.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know what the answer is, but nobody does. That's the problem. Right, but to turn America into something that is not very American.
I remember getting off a ship about 15 years ago in a country, and they had armed soldiers there, and I said, "What a way to live!" Bigger than darn. I was at the airport about right after 9/11. We had armed soldiers there.
Well,
I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime.
I've been to airports also where I see soldiers with rifles.
I never thought I'd see that.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's very different than going door to door with soldiers and searching people's houses. I'm going to break for the news. I need to ponder this a bit. Maybe some of you do too. 312-981-7200. Thank you, Bill, for your call. I appreciate all the input. That's what it's about. Thank you for putting it politely also. Quick break for news, and then we'll get right back to the calls. This is the moment. So, you know, we hear about the problem of shootings in Chicago all the time. I guess, you know, until it hits home to you, it becomes a little more of a personal thing. You know, it's just a story on the news. And it was very disturbing to me to see one of our producers here at WGN, one of the producers of Rokoncho and Alzheimer, posting on his Facebook page this horrible story, driving home from a second job that he has, pulling up to a light, and a car pulls up to him next to him and points a gun at him. He is a Marine, reacts the way you might expect a Marine to. Not sure that I would have the presence of mind if something like that happened. I don't really know what I would do, except just start crying like a baby, probably, if something like that happened. But he had the presence of mind to, you know, hit the gas, duck away. But it could have been another of these stories, Veronica, like you're reporting, of these crazy, random shootings that we hear about all the time.
And you are totally right that we tend to block out all the bad stuff until we know a victim or a potential victim in this case.
Yeah. And I mean, we hear these stories and, you know, the ones that you just reported, oh, that's awful. That's going on in the city. It's awful. But it's a story on the news. You know, it's not somebody that you know who now on his Facebook page, and Brian's a big guy. He is not somebody, you know, that looks, would be intimidated by anybody, who's going to wear a bulletproof vest when he's driving in his car. That's insane that anyone would have to do that.
Do you know when I went with a high school trip over to China, we felt safe letting the kids wander around China, more safe letting them wander around a foreign country where nobody knows the language than we do in most of Chicago.
Right. So, and my question is, what do we do? We had a caller on before the news who said that the National Guard should go house to house, and searching house to house, which I understand his intent. But I don't want to live in an America where the National Guard can burst into your house.
Maybe kind of a happy medium between that and, you know, what he was thinking and what we're thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it is an insidious problem. He mentioned, you know, the code of silence that takes place. That's part of the huge part of the problem is that the gangs obviously have a code of silence not to rat on each other. The community is afraid to say, I mean, I just don't believe that all this violence is going on. And the word doesn't get out that so-and-so was the one who did this shooting or, you know, this happened there. I recognize that car. It's so-and-so's car, whatever. But everyone's afraid to say anything because they don't want to become the next victim. There needs to be some kind of protection for people to step forward. There needs to be some kind of witness protection program for somebody who does say, I know who did that shooting, and they are suddenly, you know, then they get relocated someplace where they will be safe.
The problem is I don't think a lot of them want to be relocated. That's where they live. That's where they grew up. That's where they know everyone.
Okay. All right.
But you're right.
Just a thought. You know,
something has to happen.
Should there be some kind of financial incentive, you know, for somebody to come forward?
That might work.
You know, a reward? For something like that. I mean, a lot of these crimes are being committed because of financial need. A lot of these crimes are being committed because of drugs. Does there need to be a greater war on drugs? Does there need that? You know, there needs to be a greater education. There need to be more opportunity so people don't feel like they have nowhere to go in their lives. So they go to the gangs where they can make money selling drugs. Do there need to be more opportunities? Is that part of the problem? And, you know, I will also say this, talking about codes of silence. I love the police. I have nothing but respect for the police. But let's not lie and say that there's also not a code of silence the other way as well. That police now, especially since all that's happened with all the shootings, are looking the other way because they don't want to get involved in some kind of investigation trying to do their jobs. That can't happen either.
Right.
Let's not pretend like that doesn't happen. It does. 312-981-7200. Cindy, hi. You're on WGN.
Hi. My name is Cindy Trembach, and I was calling with regards to what can be done with all the shootings that are going on at the expressways.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I feel that there really does need to be more of a police presence, just having more police out on the expressway.
Yeah, I agree.
Visibility, I would hope, would deter all the crime that's going on and help with our city being safer. I live in the south suburbs, and to me, and I go downtown regularly. I have family down there. I don't feel safe doing it anymore. So I wish that there were more police out on the expressway and to deter all this crime that's going on.
Yeah, I pointed this out. We were talking about this last week or the week before, and I said I couldn't remember the last time I saw a police car on the expressway. I'm on the expressway all the time. I'm driving around downtown all the time. And I'm in the city all the time, and you just don't see as many police cars as you used to. They police are being used in other ways. You know, are the allocations are, you know, such because the budgets are such. We need more police. We need more police. And I agree with you. If there were more, you know, police cars on the roads, maybe would people think twice before they pull up next to somebody who's sitting at a stoplight minding his own business and just pull a gun out on somebody just for fun?
I agree. And thank you for bringing light to this because it is such an important problem that's going on right now. And, you know, we want tourists to come to our city and people to go downtown. And with all of this crime that's going on, you know, nobody wants to go down.
Appreciate your call, Cindy. Thank you very much. The person that's kind of started this whole conversation, as I noticed it on Facebook, is Rokan show producer Brian Altheimer's on the phone right now. Brian, thanks for calling us back. Did you just wake up or did we wake you up?
No, I just woke up. I was you know, and I saw you guys contacted me, so I figured, you know, hey, I'll talk to you about
it. Yeah, I appreciate it. Just to explain, we mentioned it in the last half hour, what had happened to you, but just in your own words, explain what happened to you the other night.
Okay, so this was this early Saturday morning around 6 o'clock, because I had I moonlight at a bar, you know, on the north side.
Yeah.
And I've gotten off and I was going southbound on Lakeshore Drive. And so I got to about Jackson on Lakeshore Drive. It was like a tan truck that was behind me. And, you know, at 6 o'clock, you know, this time of year is pretty bright outside, so not really paying too much mind to it. And then as I'm driving south, the car pulled up on my passenger side as we're, you know, rolling, and the passenger in that tan vehicle, he pointed waved the gun at me, and I looked, and I was shocked, but at the same time I slammed on my brakes like really hard and got behind him. And at that point we were at Roosevelt and Lakeshore Drive, and you know that's the last right you can actually make
before you get into the museum campus and McCormick Place and all that up there, right?
Right. So I instantly made that right, and the guys were going so fast that they crossed Roosevelt. So I was relieved that, you know, I did that, but I instantly called the police and told them what happened, given them the description of the vehicle, you know, and I don't know if they even caught the guys, you know, because that was one of the scariest things I have, you know. And you know, I was in the Marine Corps, and I never had to, you know, I never ever dealt with something like that, you know, in my hometown, you know, even in the 90s, you know, at some point it was pretty, you know, the gang problem was, you know, it was bad back then in the 90s, but it was never so brazen as it was that I saw Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, maybe some of your Marine Corps training, you know, saved you, that you had the presence of mind to react the way that you did. You know, I don't know how a lot of us who are, you know, not trained like that, you know, would panic, would stop, would freeze. You know, you don't know what you would do. But I wonder. I mean, you're just driving along and minding your own business. There's not any, I mean, you must have gone through your mind, do I know who this might be? Did I get into an argument? You work security at this bar. Did I get into an argument with somebody at the bar? I mean, you must have played some scenarios through your mind wondering about, have you?
Well, I mean, that happens from time to time. And but when I thought about it, I'm like, no, nobody's that crazy to follow me all the way from, you know, up north to out south just to do that, you know. But it did, you know, get me thinking, like, you know, maybe these new generation of thugs, or whatever you want to call them, this is like some kind of sick fun for them, you know. And I was listening to you earlier about, you know, the state police patrolling the highways. And I think, to my knowledge, I think the Chicago police handles at least Lakeshore Drive, you know.
Yeah,
so
expressways are Illinois state jurisdiction, so that would be state police on the highway. But still,
okay.
I can't remember the last time I saw a police car on an expressway, a state police car. I'm not sure that I can remember seeing Chicago police car on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, and like I said, it's really it's disturbing what's going on, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, what would have happened had I kept southbound Lakeshore Drive? If I would have been another, you know, story, you know,
right,
on Sunday morning or Monday morning, you know, of another shooting on, you know, on the highways, you know, and I don't know what the mayor, I don't know what the superintendent can do. And I know that their hands are full because of everything that's going on. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, the recent bad press they got, why they're so slow to react to things. But I made it to the point where, you know, for me, lucky enough, I have a tactical vest. If I'm driving that early in the morning or that late at night, I'm wearing that vest because
I saw that.
And yeah, and
I saw that. I totally get it. I mean, it makes sense. But how sad is that, Brian? Right, that we have to put on military gear before we get in the car to drive home from work.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how I feel now. It's like, and when that incident happened, I didn't have it on. You know, I had it in the trunk of my car. And so now I'm like, okay, even like this earlier this morning when I came home from the bar, I had it on driving. You know, it's a little uncomfortable while you're driving. And I know the police, they drive with theirs on, you know, and I mean, they feel safe with their gear on, so why shouldn't I feel safe with my gear on?
Sure.
You know, and even though I shouldn't have to wear it, but I genuinely don't feel safe right now.
Right. So what do you think should be? What do you think is the solution? I think more cars on the street, more police presence on the street would make a difference. Am I naive thinking that?
That's part of the solution, but there's so many different issues that play into the violence in Chicago and even in any urban area in America, honestly. And I always said that one of the things that can, in a sense, change the thinking of the black youth or any person living in urban America is, one, you know, you have to change, you know, the message that's out there. You know, if you turn on any urban radio station and the only thing you're hearing is violence, 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 sex, 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 violence, violence, violence. And young kids hear that, you know, and, you know, when you're young, your mind's a sponge. And so it's crazy that when you hear a station, you know, they play that type of music, and then when something really tragic happens in the city, they all of a sudden they want to stop the music and discuss whatever the problem is in the community, right? And then they'll do that for maybe an hour or two, and then go right back to playing the sex, 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 violence, violence, violence,
right.
Sex, 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 violence,
yeah.
Violence. It's crazy, you know, and you can't. I mean, that's just a sliver of the problem, you know. So, I mean, and this is just me. I challenge any Chicago urban radio station to change the message. You know, if you change the message, you know, put some positivity out there, you know, because to a young kid, you know, that's listening to any urban radio station, you know, if they hear a Chief Keef on the radio and he's one of the examples of, you know, Chicago violence, and he's making money, you know, glorifying the violence. What do you think somebody, you know, in Englewood that's poor, and they look at somebody like him, like, oh, he made it, and he's, you know, and he did it by being stupid and ignorant. I might as well do the same thing,
right.
You know, and it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah,
so,
I was talking about that earlier. That I think this is such a multi. You know, this is such an octopus with, you know, the minute you think you're making some headway on one side, you know, the other side grabs you with its tentacles. But, you know, this opportunity, education, jobs will take people off the streets, give them opportunities to, you know, everybody wants something better in their life. Every parent wants their kids to have something better in life. If those opportunities aren't there, they're going to turn to the gangs because they can make money selling guns and drugs. You know, that's where money is, and that's where opportunity is, unless we can provide some other opportunities along the way. I think
right.
That's part of the solution as well. And the codes of silence that everyone seems to have, that has to somehow stop. I know people don't want to give anybody up, but, you know, because they'll be in danger. But that seems like that's part of the problem, too.
Yeah, and opportunity is definitely is one of the solutions, you know, and it takes, you know, it starts at home as well, you know, with parenting. And it just, something has to give, because this is getting way out of hand. And as I stated in the Facebook post, you know, I'm a big guy, you know, I'm like 280, you know, I'm not, you know, overweight, anything like that. But, you know, that means nothing to a bullet. It doesn't, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're okay. It really, really caught my eye this morning. I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot more about it. Thank you for giving us a call and sharing what I'm sure was a very terrifying experience for you.
Oh, yeah, like I said, I was mad. I was more mad, if anything. I mean, I was scared, but more angry that happened.
Yeah. I've got a producer screaming in my ear. You might know a little something about that.
I definitely know about that.
To keep the train on the tracks here, so I'm going to take a break. This is Brian Altmiller. He's one of the producers on Rokan Show in the afternoon. I'm sure he'll be talking a lot more about this tomorrow. Brian, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks.